everybody. It is Wednesday, January 4th, 2012, the first This Show Is So Gay of 2012. I'm Ken. As always, you can drop us a line by sending us an email to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show. And of course, it's a new year. Go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. First show of the year, we have much ground to cover. Hey, let's start by welcoming a guest, the first guest of 2012. Are you ready for that, first guest of 2012?
I think so.
No pressure. Let me introduce you. Shireen Papillon is the founder and CEO of the lesbian media site One More Lesbian, popularly known as OML. OML is an online mecca where you can watch your favorite movies, short films, television storylines, web series, and so much more. Here to talk about OML. Shireen, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How did you ring in the new year?
We were up in the wine country. OML is based in San Francisco, and I live just north of Golden Gate Bridge. And so we went up to the wine country and stayed there with some friends. And it was very festive, yet restful, and mellow.
That sounds a good way to start the year. Well, we have so much to talk about. Are you ready?
I think so.
Let's find out. Let's start off easy. Tell everybody how OML came about. How did One More Lesbian come into being?
Well, in a nutshell, my background is in entertainment. I spent many, many years producing for film and TV, and I was pitching a TV series. It's a lesbian Mad Men.
Okay.
It actually went into development for a little while, and then got dropped by BBC and Channel 4. And that's a long story, but I was about to pitch them, and I was researching to see if there was anything like it in Europe, and this was back in 2008, and, you know, and I innocently, ignorantly went onto Google Video and typed in lesbian, and I was hit with massive amount of porn.
I would imagine so, yes.
Yeah, it's actually a lot less now just because Google Analytics has changed on the web and also when you're searching for video. But, I mean, it's still fairly substantial. So I looked here, looked there, and it seemed like the videos were out there, but they weren't centralized. And I thought, you know, there really should be a website where you could get quality lesbian content that's not pornographic,
right?
You know, all in one, and so the idea was born. And you know, the first year, I really had no idea what I was doing. I just, you know, would push buttons just to see what they did. And then I hired a programmer, and then it was really the second year that I brought people on board, and that's really when we, you know, became something of substance.
And so I love the about section of your website because it stresses two key areas, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about both of them. The first is visibility. And I think that we simplify. We talk a lot about the visibility of LGBT characters on TV, and I think we oversimplify it by saying, oh, there's just not enough lesbians represented on TV. And I was reading your interview with the Seattle Lesbian where you said, and I love this quote, quote, "I would love to see greater character complexity. Even though we've been represented in television for a couple of decades now, we're still telling the same story, coming out. We never really seem to go beyond it." And then this is my favorite part. "Actually, I take that back. For lesbians, it's coming out, getting pregnant. What would greater complexity look like for representations of lesbians in the media?
Well, I think I use David Fisher as an example. And I think, I mean, for him in 6 Feet Under, I mean, they did go through, you know, his coming out. But his character was so much more than him being gay. I don't want, it's a fine line because I want the gay representation to be front and center, but at the same time, I don't want the gayness to be front and center.
Right.
I just would love to get to a point where a character can be gay and in a lead and be who they are and have, you know, all their charisma and charm and, you know, magical characteristics, and at the same time, you know, we can see their, you know, their fears and just, you know, any sort of trauma they've gone through, just any, like, any other character complexity. And I feel like we, for the most part, get robbed of that because no one seems to be able to go past the coming out. Like, that's the biggest news.
Right.
And it just, it feels a little, at this point, elementary.
Why? I'm kind of in one of those modes. It's the first show of the year, and gosh, we've been talking about this for 3.5 years now, and way longer than that before our little radio show came into being. And sometimes I get a little frustrated of we have the same conversations, that this complexity of representation isn't there. Is it because it's just not palatable to mainstream audiences? Why do you think, I mean, you work in this medium, why are those representations not there at this point?
Well, I think for TV audiences, I think that there's just, you know, big limitations all around in that, you know, they have a networks especially, but even cable channels have a set idea of what will work. You know, like you could have a gay couple on Modern Family, and I think that they're hilarious and
right.
wonderful and all of that. But as long as they're comedic and funny and you know, it's like, yes, they're gay, but there's nothing that's, I mean, there's just nothing that's deeply in a deep look into their lives.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, the show is what it is. It's not meant for that. So
right.
you have that inherent in television. I think that films, on the other hand, don't really have an excuse. And I think that the issue becomes that if you make really complex LGBT films, you know, they get categorized by, as a gay or an LGBT film and usually get seen by gay audiences. So you're preaching to the choir.
We know already.
So, yeah, exactly. So I think what it's really going to require is gay inclusive programming and films, you know, so, you know, and with substance. But I don't think that you're going to see it on networks. I think you need, you know, a series like 6 Feet Under with an Alan Ball running it, who is got, you know, huge gay sensibility, but also just a tremendous amount of intelligence,
right?
You know, and I think that that's or Big Love. You know, it's just it's, and I mean, I love Big Love because it's, you know, there's so many things that are un-PC about it, and there's so many things that are real. But that makes it complex. That makes one think. You know, and you can decide what's right, what's wrong, and all of that. But it's not being spoon-fed to you,
right? Well, the other piece that I mentioned, the two sections on your about section, the twin qualities of visibility and accessibility. Talk to us about accessibility and how OML really changes the game with regard to accessibility.
Well, I think the biggest factor is that we play on the global level,
right.
And that's always been important to me. Like, I think that when we talk about TV, when we talk about film, mostly it's as if we live on the island of United States, and that's just not the case. I mean, if you look at TV especially, and you look at the content that's coming out of Spain right now, and you compare that to what's coming out of the U.S., which is almost none,
right.
I mean, they blow us away. But yet, we wouldn't know about that if you know, there wasn't, you know, sites like OML or other lesbian sites were reporting on it, not necessarily showing the videos, you know, but mentioning them. And I think that that's the beauty of the net. You have this access to any part of the world that is connected, and yet we're not really using it for what it can be used for. So if there's a, you know, series that comes out of South Korea, you know, we carry it. As long as it has English subtitles, you get to see it. And to me, that is really important. Not only you get to see it, but somebody in Morocco, if we're not blocked, gets to see it, you know?
Right.
And that's validating. That says that, you know, outside of my country, outside of my town, there are people like me. And again, good, bad, ugly, whatever, but they exist. And they're living and they're doing, you know, what they're doing. And to me, you see enough of that and, you know, it starts normalizing. And I think that's what we need.
I had no idea that Spain had so much going on.
Exactly my point is because we never hear about it, you know. So what is it, you know, what is it that they're doing now in Brazil, you know, in Venezuela, you know?
Yeah.
And the programming is there. And then, you know, because we post these videos, then we get those audiences, and those audiences become aware of shows from other countries. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There's a beauty in that. So visibility, yes, but then you've got to give people a way to access, you know, and hopefully we're doing that.
Now, I thought it was very interesting on a number of different levels that in the About section, you very specifically, and we talked about it briefly earlier, just mentioned pornographic submissions will be declined, links to porn sites will be rejected. Are a lot of people submitting those?
It used to be. I mean, it used to be like, seriously, half my time was spent cleaning the site of of porn. And one way or another, they would get in to a point where we now don't have open submissions. You know, there's a filtration process that we go through because, people were submitting not just videos, but also in the comment section, you know. Not anymore, though. I don't know if it's a matter of us just putting in all those safeguards or people just got tired of
right.
us saying no. I don't know. But now it's not so much. But I also just want to make the clear distinction that, you know, lesbian doesn't mean porn.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean porn. You know, and it's unfortunate. Like, one of the reasons I chose the name, the One More Lesbian, was because I wanted to break the taboo of lesbian. Like when the whole don't ask, don't tell process was happening, I just loved the fact that different politicians had to say gay lesbian. Like it was words that they had to pronounce, and I wanted to somehow further that. You know, I just wanted to be that people say one more lesbian, not like Femme or, you know, Sappho Central or whatever.
Right.
I feel like this. So, again, I'm not discounting sites that use, you know, names like that. It's just, for me, it was important to establish lesbian as a sexuality of the many spectrums and, you know, separated from pornography. And I also don't have anything against pornography. It's just not our site.
It's not your, yeah. And that association is, I've talked about this before on the show in doing my own research, even with teenagers and words that they associate with gay and words that they associate with lesbian. And in all the, you know, the hundreds of workshops I've done all across the country, it's amazing how many times with teenagers, when we talk about the word lesbian, there is that association with porn. And every time I have to stop and say, wow, your conception of this identity is so far off. It's just so far off. So, yeah.
I mean, when I came out to my dad, I mean, given that he's much more old world, that's all he had as a reference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to educate him. And he's a worldly guy,
yeah.
You know? It's not like, you know, he's from, you know, just, you know, whatever small town and hasn't been anywhere. He's been, you know, world traveler, and that's his only association, and I think that is the case often. And I think that it's changing. I think that we're making sure.
Absolutely.
And I don't mean just you and I, but I mean the LGBT community, you know, because we're getting so much more vocal.
Sometimes it just feels like you and I, though, right?
Completely.
Right now, it's just you and I.
The weight of the world.
Well, tell us, you must get to see all of this amazing content, so much more than the average person. Can you just unsolicited give us three representations, three clips, three movies, three TV shows, three recommendations from your site that I never would have known before had you not told me about them?
Yeah, there's, if I could pronounce them, let me, it's a storyline, of course, between two women, between a, to abbreviate, a rich man's daughter and a prostitute, Isabel and Christina, and it's Tierra de Lobos.
Okay.
And it's a period piece set in Spain in the 1800s. And it is, it's actually not a secret because it, in the last few months, the net has gone crazy with these two women because it's just, the whole show is just beautifully done and the storyline between the two women is hot and also very well done.
All right, so, we're going to have to check that one out.
That one, and I would also say Anna and Teresa from another Spanish series.
Gosh, it's all going down in Spain, it sounds like.
Well, this is what I mean. It's just, it's, I mean, can you think of a series in the U.S. right now? I mean, we've got, you know, Kelly in Arizona in Grey's Anatomy.
I do like them.
And then who else?
Yeah, you kind of have Kalinda on The Good Wife.
Yeah, but
it depends on the episode.
Yeah, she's also hot, but there's no like real storyline.
Oh no, no, not at all.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Kalinda is a good one.
Give us one more. What other? There's got to be another country other than Spain, because now I kind of want to move to Spain.
Another one. Well, the web series. I think the web series are all around good, and I'm partial to all of them, you know, like girl scene.
Yes. Oh, we had Tucky Williams on the show not that long ago. Love
so,
talking to her.
She's not a secret or anyone but me. So it's called Amar en Tempos Revoltos.
Okay.
It's supposed to be love in hard times.
There we go. Okay. One of the things I love about the site, and I've been surfing around for the past couple of weeks, is that I love that it's really not just about clips. It's not just about videos. There is a social justice component to the site. And I don't know how you could be a lesbian media site without having a social justice component. But talk to us about the fact that there are articles on there, that it's a compendium of different stories that are happening about equality as well.
Yeah, well, we have a section called In Words, and true to OML's spirit of aggregating and curating, we also do that with blogs and articles from various lesbian sites. But the social justice aspect of OML was kind of built in from the get-go. I mean, I think that, you know, we have a responsibility. I mean, the same way that you have a responsibility to, I mean, you could have variety on your show,
mm-hmm.
but, I mean, if you're not furthering the cause, you're not doing anything.
Right.
You know? I mean, you become a hindrance. So, and for me, I've never wanted OML to be a nonprofit. The reason for that is because I think, at least in this culture, I think that money talks. I think money talks in every culture. But I think that unless you're a GLAAD, you know, and by that I mean GLAAD,
yeah.
You're that big, it's hard to get your voice out there. So for me, it's all about making OML grow to a substantial commerce site, but using that in order to further our cause, the gay agenda,
yeah,
as you'd have it. So the social justice is, I mean, it's integral.
And we should highlight the OML New Year's resolution, as I read on Facebook, quote,
wow,
to create an LGBT army of love to wipe out homophobia. Who's in? I'm in, Shireen. I'm in.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think, I think the idea is that there's just, you know, you can't fight hate with hate, and it's really easy, super easy to get angry and pissed. I mean, I you know, I just have to, you know, turn on the GOP.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, and not just, you know, angry out of what comes out of their mouths, but it's angry that these are our choices,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Besides that, I feel like, you know, just it has to be that, you know, for every, you know, hate that gets thrown our way, that we throw back a whole, you know, love 10 times. And I don't think that being lesbian or gay means that you've got to be a soldier of love, but I think that that is what is required. That is what is needed,
yeah,
for us to all stand up and say, listen, you've got a misconception. Whatever you're thinking is out of date, and we're going to help you change that, you know? And one way or another, it will change. It's a matter of time, but it will change. So either you change your mind now, or your children will change your mind.
Exactly.
Or your, you know, children's children will change your mind, but it will change, you know? So that's, you know, and we have so much power online. We have such a voice. And not to go from subject to subject, but one of the big issues that I've had with the LGBT community is that, at least with the lesbian community, is that sometimes we get a little high school. You know, there's a lot of competition that happens, which, you know, to a point is natural and even good, you know, but I feel like, you know, if we run around and say, oh, Mella's the best, and, you know, nobody does what we do, and get it here and nowhere else, then, you know, we're not really doing a whole lot. I feel like either we all rise up, we all pull each other up, or we're, you know, I don't know, playing in a sandbox.
Yeah, exactly, and just throwing sand around, and while we're blinding each other, that we're not working together to secure some of the rights that we desperately need.
That's exactly it. And the you know, haters, as we call them, will win.
Absolutely.
Because we don't, you know, we're just not strong enough. Our voice isn't unified enough.
Exactly.
And we're getting there. But you know, I mean, it takes everybody.
An army of love.
There you go.
An army of love. All right, well, we do have to talk about your musical selections for this week's episode. Are you ready to talk about your music?
Oh, my God, I can't even remember.
No, the fact that you don't remember your musical selections makes this segment so much more fun, really, for me, and probably for our listening audience. Not so much for you, but we'll find out.
I will not sing them.
No one has ever asked that.
You know, show name in Spanish that I knew I couldn't do.
Come on, it's the first show of the year. No, we will not make you sing them. This is the part of the show, Shireen, where you tell our listening audience what some, I'll only make you do a couple of them, what some of your song selections say about you. So you're going to do a little self-analysis for our listening audience. I know it's 149 shows of this. You got to do it. So I'll make you only do two of them, because these are actually some of my favorite songs. I had all three songs already on my iPod. Let's do, what does Brandi Carlile's cover of Hallelujah say about Shireen?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, Brandi, I discovered, not that I discovered her, she was discovered by me, to me, when we went to see an Indigo Girls concert, and she came out and just blew everybody away.
Oh, love her.
You know, and then later on she had, you know, the hit on Grey's Anatomy,
yeah,
and then she became more well-known, but just, I mean, it's just gorgeous, sultry, amazing voice. And then when she did Hallelujah that evening, I was just, I mean, blown away. Because, you know, a lot of people cover Jeff Buckley, but, you know, Jeff Buckley still continues to sound the best.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and of course, it's a Leonard Cohen song, and he does it fantastically. But I think it was really Jeff Buckley that made it as popular as it is. But, yeah, just Brandi Carlile just nailed it for me, and it was like if I was to like scream out all of my passion and my fears and all of it, it would be that.
Nice.
You know,
but look at that.
Spirit.
Love that one. And then this one, which is actually, it's so funny because I've been listening to Matt Nathanson for a long time, and it's only recently that he's making some sort of comeback. So I love that you requested this one. The duet of Matt Nathanson and Sugarland singing Run. What does Run say about Shireen?
You know, I think it's the kind of the romantic notion of, you know, it may be more of the you know, the old Shireen, and maybe some residue left of that, but the idea of, you know, this mad, passionate love that for some reason or another you don't feel is good for you, but that you still, you know, fight for it and you know, hope against hope that you can somehow make it work. And I love that. I love the idea and the craziness that goes around that kind of mad, passionate love.
Yeah.
And the only reason I say that it's the old Shireen is because I've been in a relationship for a very long time. And not that we don't have that. It's just, you know, not the mad, crazy anymore.
Now it's the sending the kids out to go play soccer.
That's right. So I could have a radio interview without... you know, having to hush them down.
Well, it should be pretty self-explanatory, but where can folks go to learn more about One More Lesbian?
OneMoreLesbian.com.
There you go. Where do you see this going? Where would you like to be? We're just starting 2012. Where do we want to be at the end of 2012?
At the end of 2012, I want to say so much, and I know that my CEO is going to be like, you reveal too much. But we are going to be introducing a new feature actually in just a few weeks, which would be, I think I could say it's basically like a lesbian marketplace, where it becomes a platform for retailers and designers and such to sell goods. I mean, I have, you know, said semi-jokingly that I really want OML to become the lesbian iTunes, Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon of the world, and I really mean that. So we're incorporating these features, and it, you know, we have a certain priority that we're following, but the marketplace is definite, and you'll soon be seeing OML Mobile.
Oh, great.
You'll also be seeing a lot more music, ebooks, and I'm not going to say anymore.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
My COO is listening.
I don't want to get you. What do you mean if? Of course we'll get her to listen. No, I don't want to get you in trouble. Well, this is, look, I've been surfing around on the site for a few weeks now, and I really, my hope is that our listeners that particularly our gay, bisexual, transgender listeners are not hearing this and saying, okay, that's for the lesbians, because it's just not. This is a real opportunity to bring the LGBT community together, to access one of the letters and really explore it to its fullest. And just so appreciative that you're providing the place for that community to come together. It's really, look, we talk every week about the importance of using your voice. And you're not just using your voice, you're providing a place for everyone to gather voices. And that is huge, huge for the community.
Thank you. I also want to put it out there that, you know, we own onemoregay.com. We really wanted omg.com, but as you can imagine, that was we do have onemoregay.com, and it's purely a matter of resources and time before we get that going. So if there's any guy out there, I mean, I wouldn't even begin to even pretend that I know gay content. I mean, I've seen some really beautiful gay films, but I need a gay man like me, a gay mirror, to do what I've done with OML. It would actually be a lot easier because we can replicate things a lot easier, but but it has to have somebody with, you know, real gay sensibility, and I mean gay, not LGBT.
Exactly. Oh, I got it. All right. Well, we're going to look forward to that, too. So if folks are listening to this and that's an idea you have, get in touch with Shireen and we'll get that going. Shireen, a happy new year to you. This is so exciting. I'm really excited to see where OML ends up because it's just progressing in a beautiful way.
No, thank you. And thanks for the opportunity.
All the best in 2012. You're going to keep us posted as you add more features and apparently as more Spanish films come out.
This should just be a call for all nations to put out better lesbian content, so I don't have to keep saying Spain.
There you go, because they're setting the bar. They are setting the bar. Shireen, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
All the best.
Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I've heard that there's a secret chord, the day they played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? It goes like this, a fourth, a fifth, a minor fall, and the major lives, and the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to her kitchen chair. She broke the road and she got you in. And from your lips she drew a hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, darling, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked these floors. You know, I used to live alone before.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, we have a real treat for you as we are welcoming Obsession. Hey, Obsession, are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Let's introduce you. Obsession is an electronic pop music group consisting of the fabulous Jonathan Jetson and Aaron Adonis. They began their musical journey in 2009 when they decided to take a chance at making it big with their debut single, Infatuation, which was a huge hit. They've released 5 singles and an EP and have performed at venues all over the country. And on New Year's Day, just a few hours ago, it feels like, they released a new single called Kill Me Tonight, which features Lady No Grady, which we're going to play in just a few. Here to talk about all things Obsession, Jonathan and Aaron, welcome to this show with So Gay.
Hi, thank you for having us. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How was yours?
I went mellow. I went mellow this year. Did you guys go all out?
No, we stayed pretty calm.
Okay. So, because now we have energy to really go all out just a few days later, especially if we're going to release a new single to the world.
Right.
There you go. All right, well, let's go back a bit. Let's go back a bit. Jonathan, why don't you start us out? Tell us how you guys came to start recording in 2009.
Well, we knew each other, and we had came upon, like, a music program that you could download that we heard about from a friend, and we got a song together, wrote a song, and went out and got the equipment and started recording in our house, and we just posted on MySpace, and it was back when, you know, MySpace was kind of like still popular.
A thing,
so.
Yes.
So it just kind of worked out. We posted it, it had a big reaction, and we just took things from there.
And Aaron, we have so many singer-songwriters on this show over the past 4 years, and so many of them say, yeah, I'm a solo act because I couldn't stand to work with somebody else. What is it about you and Jonathan that makes things work?
I don't know. I guess we're kind of like, we're really alike. You know, I don't think we've ever had any arguments or anything like that, but we're really alike. We have the same kind of goals and ambitions, and, you know, we're both really good at getting done what we want to do. So I think that's why we work out together so well.
That's good. We like when you two get along. So you've performed all over the place. Tell us, Jonathan, tell us about Indie Pride performing there.
Oh, that was so fun because we stumbled upon that. It was offered to us, and I mean, it was locally because we live in Indianapolis, and just to be able to, you know, perform at a gay pride is fun, obviously, to go support.
Yeah.
And the crowd that year, they had the biggest turnout they've had. So with all the people and, you know, we hadn't been there in a couple years. So it made it that much more exciting.
Aaron, tell us about Indiana, because we don't have a ton of listeners in Indiana. So we don't often hear what's going on in the gay scene there. Tell us all about the gay scene in Indianapolis.
Well, Indianapolis, it's not like most places. It's kind of small. The gay scene's not very popular, but everyone out here seems pretty friendly.
Nice.
So that aspect is okay. But there's not very much to do around here, so it's kind of difficult for us to get our name out around here.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's okay. It's nothing great, but it's not bad either.
Yeah. And you guys are all about the social media, aren't you? I mean, folks, it seemed to be, I was checking out your Facebook page and Twitter, thousands and thousands and thousands of folks from all over the world accessing your music. You guys know how to work the social media.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing. I was looking on your Facebook page. I love your two influences, two folks that influence you. I would love to have you guys talk about them because so many of our guests request their music. Jonathan, what kind of influence is Brittany on you guys?
Oh, my God. Brittany is like, She's the queen, you know, the pop queen, and especially with her new album Femme Fatale, it's definitely more us, our music, because she kind of changed it up this year. So it just, you know, when you hear a song and like when our fans hear our music, it just gives you like a feeling. It takes over you and it inspires you. So.
And Aaron, how about Kesha?
I like Kesha because she's a really good songwriter, and her words aren't just thrown together real fast. You can tell she's really catchy with the things that she says, and her music's really catchy as well. I love that she does things a little different, and I would like to inspire to be like her because she doesn't care what other people think.
Nice. But we're here today to talk about Obsession. For someone who's never heard an Obsession song before, how would you describe it to them, Jonathan?
I would say two things. It'd probably make you want to dance,
nice.
Obviously, because it's dancey. And it just makes you feel sexual.
Okay. I don't know that my show often inspires that, so this could be a first. The 149th show that's suddenly making people feel sexual. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Aaron, would you agree? What other adjectives would you attach to Obsession music?
I think it's kind of relatable. We try to take things that happen in our lives and put it into our music, and a lot of people can relate to them. So I think that aspect is pretty cool because people like when they can relate to songs like that. So pretty much the same thing Jonathan said, plus it's relatable.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the debut of Kill Me Tonight. How did this song come about?
We, social media, you know, we're big on there, obviously. And we started chatting with Lady No'Grady, and one thing led to another. We were working on that song, and we had already chatted about collaborating with her, and she heard that one and wanted to be on there.
Look at that. What was the writing process like of the song?
We both kind of put in, like, our thoughts on what we thought would be catchy, what we thought would be a fun-sounding song, a little bit different, and that was for our part. And for her part, I mean, she wrote her own verse and her own hooks and stuff, but it was pretty fun just trying to come up with a fun song like that.
We heard the track first from the producer. We usually go with we want the tracks first, and then we write to what we feel to it. And that one just, I don't know, that one just took us over.
And what was it like finally putting it out there? So you wrote the song, you got in touch with Lady No'Grady, you recorded it, you got to hear it back, but then there's that moment when you put it out there to the world. What was that like for you?
Oh, it was so exciting because it had been in the works for a while, and we had a couple setbacks with it, but when it was there, it was really exciting.
Personally, this is Aaron. I was just so excited to finally get it out there, and people have been asking about it. And my favorite part of releasing the whole thing was just getting feedback from what people said about it and their reaction and how they loved it and stuff like that.
What kind of feedback has surprised you? So people are saying, yes, we can dance to it. Any kind of cool responses that you weren't even expecting?
No, not really. I mean, everyone's just taking it really well. They really like it.
A lot of people already like Lady No Grady as well.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because we wanted someone that people had heard of a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously not, you know, big like Britney Spears, but, you know, a lot of people have heard of her. So it was really cool that people could relate to, they liked our song and, you know, that little aspect of having her in there, they already knew who she was. And that was kind of cool.
Very cool. Now, what is up next for Obsession? I know you just put the song out. So for me to be asking you what's next, can we at least celebrate the single? And we are, and we'll play it and we'll all dance to it and apparently feel sexual. But what's coming up next?
No, that's not a bad question at all because we're working on our album right now and we've only released one EP in the past, like you said, but we're wanting to put out a full-length album, and we have it in the works right now, and we don't know exactly when, maybe late summer, but we're working really hard on this one. So
that one, the album's called Global Domination. We've already got most of the tracks picked out, but there's a few songs we're still working a little bit on, and we're trying to decide which ones to put on there, because we only want the best ones on there. We don't want to put any that we think maybe we could have tried a little bit harder, done it a little bit more perfect on.
No album fillers.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And of course, most importantly, where can folks go to learn more about all the cool things that you're putting out there?
On our website, officialobsession.com.
Great.
That has everything on there. That our website has links to our Facebooks, our Twitters, everything is on there. And they can find our music, download links, everything on there.
I am wondering, how do I get to be the January fan of the month?
Oh, well, just for letting us call in, we'll have to for the month.
That was easy. I thought I was going to have to post every day. This was an easy route. And what do I get as the fan of the month? Obviously, it's a resume builder, so I'll put it on there. Do I get anything else?
The fan of the month always gets a free download of our latest single, and we also send a piece of merchandise.
Wow. This was a very lucrative interview for me. It's very exciting. All right, well, folks, we're gonna play right now for you Kill Me Tonight by Obsession featuring Lady No Grady. This is a pretty exciting time for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, start off the year awesomely. Keep dancing. Make people feel sexual. Put out new music. What an amazing start to 2012 for Obsession. We're going to have you guys back on the show when you guys put out more content. You going to call back in?
Definitely, yeah.
Awesome. Jonathan, Aaron, Obsession, all the best, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
He asked me, could he take a bite? I told him, please don't be polite. Do what you want to be, all right. Love me, rape me, kill me tonight. My fantasies will come to life. They are as clear as black and white. They'll have what you are so uptight. Love me, rape me, kill me. Take a bite. I told him, please don't be bold.
All right, we have just a little bit of time left on this first episode of 2012. So let's throw in some LGBT news that's on our radar. Of course, on everyone's radar is the Iowa caucus, which ended just a few hours ago. Rick Santorum, former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum, finished only a few votes behind Mitt Romney. And I'm sitting here reading all about this and listening to the news reports, and I know folks are just going to, I'm going to get more emails because I get these emails that say, Ken, you're just in your Vermont privileged state, and I get that, but I still am going to sit here and maintain, because it's the first week of 2012, that I can be a little bit hopeful. I'm in awe that a man who puts forth as many anti-gay things as Rick Santorum puts forth, not even to mention how this is a dude who's just against birth control, he doesn't like it. Doesn't like the birth control, that he can put forth these anti-gay things and still end up just a few votes away from a whole score of delegates, even though I think he gets the same number of delegates as Mitt Romney gets, to secure the Republican presidential nomination. I don't know. It just feels pretty darn wrong to me. And I'm trying really hard not to make a comment about Iowa, because we have some amazing listeners in Iowa. And I don't want to characterize your whole state. You just have to go over to advocate.com or any number of news articles right now, which are characterizing the whole state, where I guess it is possible that Rick Santorum can get this many votes. So Rick Santorum, in an interview last weekend, said that he favors ending the marriages of gay and lesbian couples who legally wed under current state laws. He explained that their marriages would be, quote, invalid under his proposed amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I don't know. That feels kind of wrong to me, but we'll see what happens. I'm reading that he's not going to do so well in New Hampshire, but there's a lot of other states where Rick Santorum could get a ton of support. So LGBT and ally activists, I know your ears are already perked up, but if you are one of those folks who are listening to this, who are, you know, the politics thing is not for me, or I'm a Democrat, so whatever, when they come up with a Republican presidential nomination, then I'll pay more attention. You want to be paying more attention now, because you need to be talking about people like Rick Santorum and the views that he puts forth, because it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary. I don't care that people are saying, oh, Obama could just beat Rick Santorum in a heartbeat. If he gets on a national stage and can put these things out there, I don't know. It's a frightening concept to me. I like giving people their free speech. Free speech, good. Radio is part of free speech. But I just don't even want to hear it. So prick up your ears, folks, and do what you need to do to let folks know that people like Rick Santorum, they're against marriage. They're against birth control. They're against just a lot of people. I'm feeling pretty comfortable saying Rick Santorum doesn't like me very much. So Michelle Bachmann, she has now dropped out. People have put forth some of it was very funny on the Facebook. Some of it was pretty mean. Let's just be happy that she is no longer in the race. We'll see how this goes forth. If you're in Hawaii, Delaware, and California, a lot of pro-LGBT laws have now taken effect on New Year's Day. Civil unions in Hawaii, a new California law that requires schools to teach the historical contribution of LGBT individuals. That went into effect. A lot of really cool things. Civil unions in Delaware. So New Year's Day, very celebratory across this country. And we'll definitely be keeping an eye on California and how this curriculum that's going to be introduced into the schools is actually going to take shape. I know, as we mentioned on the show a few weeks ago, there are some youth here in Vermont that are working hard to pass a similar bill to have some mirror legislation here in Vermont that would teach the historical contributions of LGBT individuals in all of our schools. So very exciting there. That's a game changer. That's a game changer. We can talk about the national political stage, but when we're talking about that youth in a huge state like California are going to learn about LGBT Americans and the contributions to society, what that will do not only for kids who are thinking about, you know, their sexual orientation and, oh gosh, I don't know anything about gay Americans and I can't possibly be a gay American. Not even that, although that's fantastic. We're talking about ally students who it's going to forever change that landscape. So very,
very exciting things there. A lot of great articles out there about what 2012 is going to look like. All these predictions, definitely going to be looking out for Representative Tammy Baldwin and her U.S. Senate bid out in Wisconsin. We'll be covering that a ton. We're going to be covering California's Prop 8 and what's going to be happening with that, because there's going to be a lot of news. It's just a lot to look forward to. But first, the first thing we're looking forward to over here at This Show Is So Gay is next week's show, our 150th episode of This Show Is So Gay. We have some really special treats planned for you all and for us. We're excited just for us. But you will see a ton of guests. I didn't even really want to say that much, but some familiar faces to the show. So, Gay, we're going to cram them all in. We're being a little bit ambitious, but it's show number 150. All these other great shows coming up after that, you can check that out at thisshowisogay.com, where you can, of course, click on the iTunes link and subscribe to our show on iTunes. And then you don't have to worry about downloading. It will download automatically for you. If you have some feedback, if there's a story that you think that we haven't heard about, send it to us. Send it to ken@thisshowisogay.com. We would love to hear stories that may not have made it into some of the media outlets that we regularly tap into to cull our stories. So if there's something going on locally, we love local stories. We got the national stuff down. That's going to hit the wires. But if there's a local story that we might not have heard about, please, please send it to ken@thisshowisogay.com. We want to talk about it. We want to cover what's going on locally. That is one of our commitments here at This Show Is So Gay. And of course, I mean, you know it. Go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay. We want that This Show Is So Gay group to get above 1,000. It's hovering right there at 1,000. We know our listenership is a lot more than that, but let's get the actual people in the This Show Is So Gay group over at 1,000. So next week, we will delve into all of our enormous appreciation for you all, our listeners, and for our guests on our 150th episode. For right now, we bid you adieu. We wish you had the happiest new year, and that it hasn't just happened on January 1st, where all this great legislation went into effect, but that here on January 4th, things continue to be a very, very happy new year for you. We are looking forward to just an incredible, incredible year for This Show So Gay. And of course, we look forward to spending it with you. So get out there, go do some incredible things. Use your voice, watch some lesbian videos over at One More Lesbian. Go listen to some Obsession music. We already played some for you. Go find some more. But while you're doing all these things, the thing that's so important for you to remember is, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Watch you undress. I wanna watch you glow. Let your hair down all around and cover us both. You come in waves. We crash and we roll. You surround me, pull me, drown me, then swallow me whole. You turn, 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 turning.